Today I'm back in Luke chapter 19, where Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair. Occupy, he says, till I come. That's the subject I want to talk about for a while. Normally, I would not care if you remembered a title of a lesson or not, but this time, I want you to remember it. Occupy. What does this word mean? It means to fill in the place of another. You're not the owner, you're just occupying. When the nobleman was home, he was making investments as he saw fit. But he was going into a far country, and he pulled these 10 servants together, and he gave them all an equal amount. And he told them, "Occupy until I return. Occupy the place in which I would usually be, the place of investments, the place of running my business. I want you to occupy this space until I return." That's what occupy means. Jesus, when he left, the Bible says, he gave gifts unto men. And he gives us all this blessed Holy Spirit, all who would accept it. And he says, "I want you to occupy. I want you to do the things that you know that I would do if I was here." That's quite a mandate. We are supposed to be doing the same thing that Jesus would do if he was here himself in the flesh. This is a teaching, a direction, even a revelation of the coming of the Lord, of his second coming. We are also advised that there shall be an accounting required of us Christians, of our entire lives, of the gospel with which we have been entrusted, of our possessions, of our time, of our talents, and of our responsibility in the matter of witnessing. I believe that next to the cross of Calvary, the greatest incentive for Christian service is the second coming of Jesus. There are many thoughts that race into our minds when we think of the powerful incentives of his second coming. The reality of his coming will wean us from this present world, and we need a weaning. This old world is too much about us. It has too many appeals to us, too many ways in which its tentacles entangle us. So many seemingly legitimate things that bid for our time and thoughts. The second coming of Christ places the world, its allurements, its attractions, and ambitions on the right plane. It measures them, weighs them, balances them, and discards those that take too much of us away from God and his work. We become convinced that all of the popularity, all of the prestige, all of the possessions of this world is but refuge when compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus and the fellowship of his sufferings. The applause of this world seems but a small thing in comparison with the "well done, thou good and faithful servant" of our Master's heavenly greeting. Earthly pleasures apparently satisfy many people today. Oh, how many there are among us selling their heavenly heritage for the red pottage meat of worldly activities. They remember not that time is short and eternity long, that the here is passing while the hereafter is permanent. It is entirely different with those who live in the light of the Lord's return. Their lives conform to a heavenly standard. Their love is set upon things above. They fear neither the favor nor the fury of men. They are piling up treasures where moth cannot corrupt, nor thieves break in and destroy. They find themselves in a loving labor that refuses to count the cost or to consider the sacrifice. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.